Good morning. It's time to get up with a love story. Jordan Love will tell you if he's ready to take the reins. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Plus, Tom Brady's stunning admission about his injured knee. And when he actually hurt it, our guys will tell you why the rest of the league should take notice immediately. And why Dancing Dak may have everything to do with the Cowboys making a deep run in 2021. And good morning, I'm Ryan Smith, in for Mike Greenberg, and we are thrilled to get up with you on this busy day today. We'll get to the NBA playoffs in just a minute, but we got tons of football to get to with these guys right here in studio. Dan Graziano, Chris Canty, Lewis Riddick looming large over both of them. So let's get to it and start with the biggest quarterback storylines at mandatory mini camps. And when you talk quarterbacks, you got to start with Tom Brady. First to Tampa, TB12 is back on the field after wearing a brace on his left knee after undergoing surgery in February. It's an injury he's been dealing with since last spring. Now, over to Dallas. Dak Prescott is back on the field after dislocating his fractured right ankle last season. Prescott signed a four-year, $160 million deal in March. And in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers absent. 2020 first-round pick Jordan Love is taking the first team snaps. And yesterday, he was asked if he's ready to be the week one starter.
100%. Obviously, this is a time where, you know, I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that, you know, I might not have been getting in a normal circumstance. So, I'm going to take it day by day. And, that's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback. So, I'll definitely be ready week one.
So he is ready, and let's bring in Rob Domofsky because he's ready as well. Rob, what did you see from Jordan Love yesterday at minicamp?
Well, Ryan, if day one of minicamp was his worst day, day two was probably his best day since the Packers drafted him more than a year ago. There was on the first day, it was inaccuracies and checkdowns and an unwillingness to throw the ball down the field. And day two was the complete opposite. He was throwing darts down the field. He was pushing the offense. He was completing pass after pass after pass, getting into a rhythm that really energized the practice. A day earlier, the two-minute drill completely failed, went nowhere. On day two, he capped it with an eight-yard touchdown pass to Alan Lazar to win the drill. At one point, Ryan, he was so hot and so much on fire that one of the assistant coaches took his play card and started fanning Jordan Love off as if to say, "We've got to cool you down. He was so hot."
Oh, man, that is exactly what Packers fans want to hear. Now, Jordan Love talked about how he's 100% ready to be the day one starter if Aaron Rodgers isn't there. So do the Packers actually feel the same way? Do they think that Love can be ready to start week one?
No one's ready to go that far yet, Ryan, and it's because of what we've seen so far. One day bad, one day good. Today, they're just going day by day. This is day three of the mandatory minicamp. They have one more week next week of some OTA-type practices, and they've said nothing about week one. They still obviously want Aaron Rodgers back here, but the progress that they saw yesterday has to give them at least some hope that Jordan Love could be ready if they need him. Don't forget, they also have veteran Blake Bortles here as an insurance policy, but right now their focus, Ryan, is on getting Jordan Love all the reps he can. They're dividing him up in a way that Love is taking massive reps one after another after another. On day one, he went 16 straight snaps. On day two, his longest stretch was 11 straight snaps. Rather than a rotation, it is Jordan Love all in right now.
All right, get him the reps. Very different from last year where he barely got that time because, after all, he was behind an MVP. Rob Domofsky, thank you so much for that report. Now, let's bring in our guys, Lewis, Chris, and Dan Graziano. I got to say, I'm overwhelmed that you guys are actually here. I can't even believe it. It's surreal, but I love it. Dan, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to that and how Jordan Love played yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's important to keep Rob's perspective in mind, which is you can't really go day by day like, oh, did he look good? Did he look bad? What does that mean for the big picture? Jordan Love is still in a developmental phase. He didn't have a preseason last year, didn't have a real offseason last year, didn't take a first-team rep all season long because Aaron Rodgers took them all. So he shouldn't be ready yet based on his experience and what they were projecting for him. So the more reps he gets, the better. That's the silver lining of Aaron Rodgers' absence for the Packers right now, is Jordan Love getting more reps than he would if Rodgers were there. In terms of whether he can be ready week one, I remember talking to their GM, Brian Gutekunst, when I was at training camp a couple of years ago, right after they hired Matt LaFleur. And he said one of the things they liked about LaFleur was not only could he manage the team in the short term with Rodgers, but also could help shepherd them into whatever came next, whatever was next for them at the quarterback position. So they believe in their coaching staff and his ability to get Jordan Love ready. They just didn't think they were going to have to do it this soon, so that's where the trick is.
It's a tough trick for him, right? You got to win now, but you also got to be ready to win later, and later is now. So, yeah. Chris, what do you make of how Jordan Love is playing right now and how that might impact the season?
Well, Ryan, I don't think we can read too much into it. I mean, we're talking about being out there with no pads on. The guys can't hit the quarterback, so it makes it tough. It makes it a little bit tricky to get a true evaluation of exactly what stage of development Jordan Love is in. But the one thing that I will say, and to Dan's point about this being a silver lining for Aaron Rodgers' absence, is that he has an opportunity to be able to operate the offense, being able to get guys in and out of the huddle, being able to get to the line of scrimmage and make all of the checks. The more reps that he gets at that, the better off he was going to be. Because let's remember, going back to a year ago when they were making the decision to draft him coming out of Utah State, one of the things about Jordan Love was he's got an immense physical talent, but he's not necessarily going to be a finished product when he gets to the NFL. He's going to need some time. He's going to need some reps. So the fact that we haven't been able to have preseason games, the fact that he hasn't had that opportunity to see that live NFL competition, the more reps that he gets in the offseason, the more prepared he's going to be if he's thrust into action this regular season.
Well, see, I find it interesting that you say he's going to need some time. So, Lewis, I come to you. I get that, too. I mean, he has not had the reps. But here's the thing. He's got to be able to win now. In Titletown, they want a champion. So how does that play out with how he is doing now and whether this can still be a playoff team if Jordan Love is quarterback?
I think you have to remember there's a lot of things that are still in place that are positive for Green Bay going forward if Aaron, in fact, makes good on his promise to never play for the Packers again. Like, this is a football team that has consistency at the highest levels in terms of management structure, coaching staff structure. The head coach is the same. The head coach is an offensive-oriented head coach. So that always bodes well for a young quarterback. Nathaniel Hackett's still the offensive coordinator. That's always a big plus for a guy like Jordan Love going into his second year. They have one of the strongest offensive lines in the NFL. They have two very good running backs. They have a very good tight end in Robert Tonyan. They have Devontae Adams. They drafted Amari Rodgers. They have Alan Lazard. So there's a lot of things right now that really bode well for Jordan Love in the short term as he continues to develop. And then in the long term, and by long term I mean September, October, November, if in fact he is the starter, because he is surrounded by a good football team. This is a good offensive system. This is a system that has been proven to be very, very efficient at the NFL level. So it's not like he's coming in with some 0-14, 0-15 type of structure around him and a new coaching staff and not a whole lot of things setting him up to succeed. There's a reason to be optimistic, both short and long term. Let's just see how it goes as he stacks some days on top of one another. But look, this is just the cycle that we're in right now. We know this is such an explosive story. We know he would be potentially replacing a Hall of Famer. We're going to scrutinize every single throw. I don't care if it's individual 7-on-7, inside 7-on-7 team. It doesn't matter. We're going to scrutinize everything, but that's just the world we live in. But he is set up for success better than what people maybe want to really admit to.
Yeah, you make a great point. He's got a great group around him, but at the same time, this kind of pressure for a guy like that, essentially coming in as a rookie, is a very difficult situation to manage. All right, guys, going to talk a lot more about the Packers and the NFL coming up, but first, to the game of the night in the NBA, Nuggets Suns game 2. There's Nikola Jokic, the league MVP. Let's see how he would do. He showed why he's MVP early. Michael Porter miss. Jokic put back. Jokic 15 points in the first half. Rest of the Nuggets team though just 27. And then here come the Suns. Paul the Saric right there. Suns up 7. Under 3 to go in the half. Devin Booker with the steal, and just puts it away. Suns up 10. Leading by 10 into the half, third quarter. Suns, well, they just kept it rolling. Jay Crowder, just watch him right here. Just a little sidestep, calmly hit the three, and then walk by the bench. Yeah, I did that. Suns up 17, about 3:30 to play in the third. Suns up 18, and that happened. Mikal Bridges with the dunk. Later, under 9 to play, you see Jokic's frustration because Chris Paul was doing things like this. Nailing the three, 17 points, 15 assists. Suns win. Fans fired up, and so was Mike Malone.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency. and one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency. And that's why we got our ass kicked. And there's a reason that their crowd is yelling Suns in four and they're calling for a sweep, because if we play like this back in Denver, this is going to be a really quick series.
Wow, fired up for a very different reason. And you know why? The Nuggets looked like a one-man team last night. Nikola Jokic scored a game-high 24 points and almost outscored the rest of the Nuggets starters combined. And more bad news for the Nuggets. Teams trailing 2-0 in a best-of-seven series have lost 93% of those series in NBA history. Well, coming up, what we heard from Tom Brady yesterday that I got to tell you should be downright scary for the rest of the NFL. What can he do for an encore in Tampa? Plus, what Dak Prescott must do for the Cowboys to become the beasts of the NFC East once again. And wait till you hear how he put his ankle injury behind him. That's coming up on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios Loki. Don't miss new episodes every Wednesday only on Disney Plus. Speaking of all powerful, by the way, after winning Super Bowl 55 at the age of 43, Tom Brady underwent minor surgery on his left knee during the offseason. So he talked about it on Thursday, how long it had been an issue and what it means for 2021. Take a listen.
It was an injury I dealt with really, you know, since last, you know, April, May. I knew I would have to do something at the end of the year, and happy I did it. And it was probably something that was needed to be done. And there's a great outcome. So I'm very happy about that. I feel I'll be able to do some different things this year than I was able to do last year.
Wait, can we just stop for a second? Some different things. What does that even mean?
I assume he's going to rush for 600 yards.
Right? That's unbelievable. What else can this man do, Chris Canty?
I don't know what else he can do, man. I mean, Tom Brady has proven people wrong at every single turn. So when we start talking about his expectations going into 2021, for me, they're the same as they've been the past two decades. I mean, until proven otherwise, I'm going to assign a baseline of excellence to Tom Brady. Mm. Even coming off a knee surgery, even going into his age 44 season, because the guy is just proven that he can elevate the talent that's around him. And with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as an organization, they've done a great job of being able to surround him with a really solid supporting cast, including one of the best offensive lines in football. And you know Bruce Arians is going to manage the situation. There's reports out in Tampa already that they're going to operate out of the shotgun until Tom Brady works his way back to 100%, try to make things a little bit easier for him. And from an X's and O's standpoint, they'll scheme up some things to try to protect him. So I just feel like this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, with returning all 22 starters and Antonio Brown, they'll be ready to pick up where they left off. Even if Tom Brady's not 100% early on in the season, this team will figure out exactly who they need to be in order to have success, similar to what they did at the bye week last year. After that, you know, they went undefeated.
This team just has everything going for it. And Tom Brady talking about how he could even do some different things this year. Lewis, I got to ask you, can he be even better this year than he was last year? Looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with Lewis's sound, but that's okay. We'll get that thought from him in a second. But Graz, I got to ask you, you actually talked earlier this morning how it's a little bit of a situation. You compared him to LeBron James when we were talking.
Yeah, well,
tell me about that.
I feel like there's a little bit of a little bit of added drama to this. Like, you guys don't really realize how tough last year was, all those great things I did. I mean, look, I'm sure his left knee was hurting him. He obviously got it worked on. He's going to be 44. Something else is going to hurt this year, right? I mean, like, that's how, like, I mean, if people are watching who haven't had their 40th birthday yet, I promise you, that's how it works. Like, you get out of bed one day and your right foot hurts and you don't even know if you did anything to it. It just decided to hurt that day. So that's where Tom Brady is. I think the key thing to understand about this is, you know, Brady doesn't have to be any better than he was last year. He has to be the constant in Tampa Bay, right? He has to be the thing they can count on. And the fact that he, at this point in his career, knows that much about how to manage his way through a season when he's not 100% is a vital part of that consistency that he offers them. The fact that he did it last year means that whatever comes up this year, he'll be able to manage that as well.
It's an interesting point, but Lewis, I got to think, when you talk about repeating as Super Bowl champions, it's more difficult. There's people now know what you're all about. They're going to be coming for you. What can he do better this season, do you think, than last season when he just really established, as you say, Chris, a baseline for excellence?
Well, there really is, Ryan. There's never any cap or, you know, ceiling to efficiency in the NFL. I believe it may have been Tom Brady. And then there have been other quarterbacks who have also said, and other players have also said, I've never played the perfect game. I've never had the perfect season. So there's always ways that they can improve in terms of their efficiency, particularly, you know, in situational type of football, whether it be third down, red zone, 2 minute, the kind of things that he grew up in New England having drummed into his head that you have to be perfect in these situations or at least strive for perfection. So there's always ways in which they can get better. But the question, you know, interestingly with Tom Brady is he truly, truly is in uncharted territory. We don't know how he is going to feel week 5, week 6, week 7. We do know that he has taken strength and rehabilitation, rest and recuperation to whole new levels, a whole different type of level in terms of the modern day athlete. And people are kind of falling, you know, in lockstep with him and trying to mimic what he's doing. And that makes this question all the more truly unanswerable as to, like, when exactly is the wall going to come for Tom Brady? When is Father Time going to win? I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just kind of like want to hit him up and ask him a few secrets. That's all, because Father Time has actually been kicking my butt in some instances. I can tell you that.
I tell you what, Father Time's been kicking my butt since my 20s. So I don't know how he's doing it, because I can't do it. But, here's a guy, Dak Prescott, who is definitely needed on the Dallas Cowboys. Coming back from a dislocated and fractured right ankle, forcing to miss 11 games in 2020 after practice on Wednesday, Dak revealed the exact moment that he knew his ankle was fully healed. Listen to this.
Yeah, had a good Cinco de Mayo, was a little active, and at that time maybe did some little dance moves, and I felt like I'm ready to go. So that was the time that I said in my head, the injury's gone. So
he is clearly not like us.
A lot of the orthopedists will point to that,
yeah.
Cinco de Mayo dance as a key milepost. In a rehab, right?
Dan, or in their offices.
It's amazing how those margaritas improve your salt. It's amazing. Unbelievable.
But in all seriousness here, Lewis, I'll start with you. What does Dak need to be to get the Cowboys not just back in the playoffs this season, but for them to make a real run? Because I don't know a Cowboys fan who says, oh, it'd be great if we made the playoffs.
Look, he needs to be at his very best. And quite honestly, through the first, 5 weeks last year, he was at his best. He was on his way to a career year at that point in time. And there was really nothing else that he could do. It's really not about him, though, as far as their overall team success. It's about the defensive side of the football, man. That's where the improvement has to really be made. Make no mistake, look, Dak still has to play at a very, very high level. Because one, he's getting paid to play at a high level. And two, it's always... Well, look, in the NFL, if you want to win, and we're talking about down in Dallas, winning really means winning Super Bowls, because that's what their history has been, no matter how far back you go, and you have to go back pretty far, but that's what it's about, winning Super Bowls. You know he's going to have to play well, but they need the improvement on the other side of the football. They need to be able to get off the field on third down. They need to be able to give Dak more cracks at it in terms of, you know, making sure that the time of possession battle is won by Dallas. So it really is a total team type of thing that needs to take place here. Dan Quinn, a new defensive coordinator, is really the guy who probably is under even brighter, hotter spotlights than even Dak Prescott, because you know that, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, that Dak Prescott's going to hold up his end of the bargain. He's an elite, elite level player, and you expect him to mimic what he started off like last year in the first quarter of the season. The defense, though, we just don't know, and we're going to find out very quickly.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, especially about the team, because as you were talking, we put up a graphic that said they were 2-3 with him playing at that elite level, Chris Canty. 2-3, and he was playing at an MVP level. So what is the winning formula for this team?
Well, I think Dak is going to have to continue to play at an MVP level. That's why Jerry Jones doled out the contract. But I think also the offense is going to have to be the identity of this team. I will agree with Lewis that the defense has to dramatically improve, but that defense is going to be a work in progress this season. They're switching over from Mike Nolan to Dan Quinn. That's odd front to even front. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve in terms of those guys understanding the scheme and what they have to do in order to be successful. So until that defense can get to the point where they can be effective, that offense is going to have to carry that team. That means that they're going to have to dictate the complexion of the game by virtue of the scoreboard, make offenses more one-dimensional in that regard, and then they're going to have to dominate time of possession. It's a similar formula to what we saw from this team in 2016 when they won 13 games. In order to do those things, Dak Prescott is going to have to play at a high level. He had a third highest QBR in 2016. It's going to take that type of season in 2021 for the Cowboys to get back to the tournament.
Wow, and what other quarterback do we talk about in the league who has to play at an MVP level and hold him to account for that? Wow. If they don't win. I mean, other guys were expected to do it, but this guy, it's like you have to do it in order to win. What other issues might they have on offense, though?
Well, look, I think they have reason to hope that things will be even better for the offense. Remember, the offensive line was falling apart around him before he even got hurt last year. Tyron Smith, their great left tackle, you know, he played two games last year. So he had surgery on his neck, and he's had some procedures to clean up some other stuff that have been bugging him for years. So he's apparently going to be okay, maybe healthier than he's been in a long time. Ezekiel Elliott is healthy, didn't play well last year. I mean, obviously, if he plays like Ezekiel Elliott, that's a benefit. I think the Cowboys feel like the offense can be great and was great early last year, minus the turnovers. And if the defense can just be okay, as opposed to horrible, which it was last year, then I think the offense should be able to be what it needs to be.
Sadly for Cowboys fans, asking the defense to be just okay after last year is a big ask. I mean, that's nothing small. So we'll see if they turn that around. But coming up, let's talk more football, shall we? What will it take to get Aaron Rodgers back in the fold? It's a question we've been asking all offseason. One of his favorite targets in Green Bay says, it's not about the GM. So what is it about? And what Giannis has to do tonight against the Nets to save the Bucks season. And trust me, it's a lot. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back with the biggest story of the NFL offseason, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Now, earlier this week, former Packers receiver James Jones had some interesting comments on the situation while appearing on The Herd on FS1.
I've talked to Aaron. I talk to him all the time. And he's told me that it's not about the GM. It's not about new money. It's not about the GM, you know. So when I hear everybody on here say, you know, it's about getting the GM fired and these things, it's not about that. His number one beef is a private conversation on the phone that I can't share with you.
So what are you talking about?
But you know what I wanted to, you know, here's the thing, though. This is why I wanted to play it. This is what I'm going to get your thought on that. But this is why I wanted to play that sound. I wanted to play that sound because this has gotten to the point. We heard Aaron Rodgers a couple weeks ago saying, like, I love my teammates, I love my coaches, I love all of that. But the problem, I think, here is, what is it about? If it's not about the GM, I'm going to take James Jones at face value there. If it's not about the GM, why is it so hard to come clean on this? I get wanting to be friendly to the fans and all that and be the good guy, but really, it's like if you care about the team and everybody else, don't you think, Dan, there has to be some sort of clear identification? I don't know if he's already did it because we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is talking to them about, but doesn't there need to be some clear identification of what do you want?
Oh, yes. I mean, if he hasn't given that to the Packers, then obviously they have no chance to resolve the issue. You know, he hasn't given it to me. Unlike James Jones, I don't talk to him. But also, unlike James Jones, I'm going to tell you what I've been told, which is that it, you know, he has an issue with the GM, and he has an issue with the organization and the way that it operates, and that he feels like, you know, he hasn't been treated the way he ought to be treated, given that he's a player of his caliber. So how that gets resolved, I mean, they've offered him a new contract. He hasn't liked that offer. You know, they've flown out to talk to him face to face. That hasn't worked. So, I mean, if James Jones has information, I think I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you want to be a reporter, do some reporting, right? You got to tell us what you know, right?
Dan, calling out James Jones. Okay, all right. I like it, though. Chris, let me ask you this, though. Take me inside the locker room. I'm in that locker room. I have a vested interest in this team being great. I get paid more. I win more. These are all the things I want. And it's not clear what my superstar wants. How am I feeling about that? Am I feeling like, look, we could say all the words we want in public, like, oh, we love this guy, we got his back, all that stuff. But am I really sitting there saying, no, I need to know what this guy wants because I want him back because that affects me?
Ryan, if you're a player in that locker room, you don't feel great about what's happening between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But, I mean, you're not at the point now where you want to panic just because it's still relatively early in the offseason. We just got to minicamp. There's still 6 or 7 weeks before you got to report to training camp. So there's still time for this whole thing to get worked out. But to me, when I hear the comments that Aaron Rodgers made a few weeks ago on SportsCenter, it sounded an awful lot like there was a respect issue or lack thereof in the communication breakdown that starts in the front office. So I don't understand how you can point at the general manager and say that's not the genesis of the issue with this rift between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So, I mean, I hear what he's saying in terms of it not being about money and that not being the genesis of this whole problem. But if you're an NFL player, you know the way that organizations show you respect is how they pay you. I mean, throwing some fresh cash into the situation wouldn't hurt the Packers' chances of being able to get Aaron Rodgers to come back. Just saying.
Yeah, money never hurts. But, Lewis, I got to put you in a tough situation, but I know you're so good at this. I got to get your thoughts. If you're in the front office dealing with this kind of situation, and outwardly it appears that Aaron Rodgers is feeling disrespected and he wants something, but that's unclear, what do you do? How do you handle that?
Well, I think at this point, Ryan, they've already done probably, I would sure hope that they've already done everything that they could possibly do to try and bridge that communication gap that supposedly exists between him and the upper levels of management with this football team. And they have had those open and honest conversations about, hey, look, these are ways in which maybe we have fallen short, not just with you, but maybe in ways that we have handled other star players or players that you felt a connection to, or coaches you felt a connection to that aren't here anymore, or ways in which we do business. You know, I would assume that they've already had those kind of tough conversations, because quite honestly, you should afford your franchise quarterback, your future Hall of Fame quarterback, the respect to have that kind of conversation. That's just being a good people person. That's just understanding that it's the people that are what drives the business. After that, though, at this point, if I'm in the front office, I'm not doing anything. I am taking my time to go ahead and continue to try and evaluate Jordan Love to get him ready to play in the case that Aaron doesn't come back. And I'm really going ahead and saying, hey, look, if I've done everything I can do to try and bridge this gap, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to engage with you then in this high-stakes game of chicken to see who blinks first. Because quite honestly, time is on our side, okay? We need to develop our quarterback who we traded up to get who we like. You are going to now start losing money. You're 37 years old. You're in the prime of your career. We want to see just how far you're willing to take this. We'll wait and see if you want to miss time in training camp and start getting fined. We'll see if you want to miss game checks when September and see if you want to lose that money. Then we'll see if whether or not we can take it all the way to the trade deadline, because quite honestly, the demand for you is going to remain high. We need to see what we got at quarterback. We've done everything we can do. I'd put the ball in his court if I was in this position.
Okay, and you know what? If you're Aaron Rodgers, in his perspective, he's got tens of millions of reasons to come back. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But let's turn over to the NBA and the Bucks and the Nets. And boy, do the Bucks have a challenge. They got to try to avoid going down 3-0 tonight against the Nets. The Nets are going to be without James Harden for the second straight game as he suffered a right hamstring injury just 43 seconds into the Nets game one victory. But the Nets have had no issues without him. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving combined for an average of 54 points a game in the Nets' two wins, including a 39-point win in Game 2. And if the Bucks want any chance to get back into this, wow, they're going to really have to need a lot more from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Had just 18 points in the Game 2 loss on Monday. And then James Harden ruled out for game three after suffering a hamstring injury in game one. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving doing all right. But I got to tell you, at this point, Caesars William Hill, they've got the Bucks as a slight favorite at minus 160 to take the first game in this series against the Nets. How about that? ESPN's VPI also gives Milwaukee a 55% chance to win tonight. And by the way, you can catch this at ESPN on 7 Eastern. Let's bring in PJ Carlissimo and Big Perk. Perk, I'll start with you. What does Giannis need to do for the Bucks to win tonight? Straight up.
Well, he has to turn the swag up. Right now, Kevin Durant is straight out outplaying him, okay? And Giannis is not playing with a certain type of passion. He's not playing with the intensity. We all know that he's going to miss jump shots. We all know that he's a guy that's not that is not a good free throw shooter. But at the end of the day, you got to have some type of pride. Kevin Durant is going right at your neck, and you're not doing anything about it. Kevin Durant has been the best basketball player in this series, and you're not taking it personal. So with Giannis, I don't care if he missed 1,000 shots tonight, but show some type of passion, show some type of tenacity, show some type of sense of urgency. That's what I want to see out of Giannis tonight.
You know, he's talked about how he's trying to stay calm, but it's tough to stay calm in a situation like this. Now, PJ, you said in your notes to us that Giannis was not the most important factor in Game 3. What is to you?
Well, their defense is the most important factor for me, Ryan. They're just getting smoked. I mean, it's two games only, but it's 120-point average for Brooklyn, 96 for Milwaukee. These three-point shots that the Nets are getting are too open. They're getting them because there's penetration. They get help, and then there's a wide-open shot from the outside, and everybody's making them. We expect Joe Harris to make his. Blake Griffin's making them. Everybody that's shooting him is making them. This ball movement is excellent, but there's the penetration. KD, Perk is right on it, is the best player in the league right now, not just in this series. When he penetrates, the help comes in. That opens up their perimeter shooting. That's the difference right now. The Bucks are an excellent three-point shooting team, and they usually defend the three well. They're not. They only have 14 threes in two games, and until their perimeter people make some shots, it's going to really be difficult for Giannis to penetrate and do some damage inside. He's taken too many jump shots, in my opinion. That's not his strength. He needs to get to the rim and get to the free throw line. Even though he may not make them, he's got to get some fouls out of this other team. So settling for jump shots is not the answer. Three-point defense is the answer.
Okay, and let's turn to the Nets side of this, guys, shall we? So, Perk, let me ask you, what at this point is stopping the Nets from getting to the finals?
KD's health. That's the only thing that could stop the Nets right now, because like Coach just said, look, Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world right now. And the way that he's playing basketball is inspiring to watch. We already know that he could put the ball in the basket. We already know that he's the greatest scorer of all time in my eyes. But his ability to facilitate for others, his ability and willingness to play defense right now, he's locking in on the defensive side of things. And right now, you're just watching a magician at work. This is what he do. He goes to work offensively, he gets in his bag, he brings a carry-on, and he has some luggage that he's throwing under the plane.
He's bringing it up. I love that. So, Coach, I'll ask you the same thing, but I'll also tell you that I'm a Philadelphia guy, and I wonder, is there anything, Philadelphia or otherwise or anywhere, that can challenge these Nets from making it all the way to the finals?
Without question, health is the biggest thing. I mean, health is, you know, really having an impact on a lot of these series. So, yeah, health important. They need James Harden and Jeff Green back. Everybody's talking about James. Jeff Green was really important for them. This game tonight is enormous. Milwaukee wins this game, they're back in the series. I know nobody believes that's true, but I think it is. The Bucks find a way to win tonight, then we may have a legit series. If it's Philadelphia they end up playing, yeah, that's going to present some problems, because Philadelphia is an excellent defense and they have the dominant big man, again, if he's healthy, Joel Embiid. So, you know, we're two games into the second round. I'm not ready to, you know, make them the Eastern champs right now. The way they're playing, if the Bucks don't respond, they're going to get through this series. I expect the Bucks to respond, and I expect whoever they play next round for it to be a much more competitive series.
Yeah, if they don't respond tonight, it is tough to see how they can make it past these Nets, because they are a juggernaut at this point. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And the NBA playoffs roll on with two conference semifinal games tonight on ESPN and the app. It's the Nets and the Bucks, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's game two between the Clippers and the Jazz. The Countdown crew starts our coverage at 7 Eastern. Well, coming up, Saquon is coming back, but why our analyst says it may not matter for the Giants what New York must get to take over the NFC East. But first, a little sneaky hembo time for Mr. Dan Graziano. Take a look there. Who is the career leader, Dan, in scrimmage yards per game among active players? Look at him thinking. We'll give him more time. We'll be back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with a little sneaky hembo time for Dan Graziano. Okay, Dan, who is the career leader in scrimmage yards per game among active players?
I think I have a good guess, Ryan.
Okay.
This is based on Ezekiel Elliott led the league in rushing yards in year 1 and year 3, and he led him in rushing yards per game in year 2 when he was suspended. I am going to guess Ezekiel Elliott.
And you would be correct. Ezekiel Elliott it is. You have trounced Hembo once again.
Where is he? He didn't show up today.
He says I would throw a football at you if I were there.
He would. Ooh. I know that. Or kick one yesterday.
By the way, look at you, Gross. 25-21 over Hembo.
Not good.
Look at you. You're making it happen, my friend. And by the way, on that list, number 2 was Saquon. And look at him. He generated nearly 3,500, 23 touchdowns in those 2 seasons over the first 2 seasons, but played only 2 games in 2021 due to a torn ACL in his right knee. On Thursday, Saquon talked about his road to recovery.
At the end of the day, I want to come back and be the best I can for my team, not just for a short span, but for a very long time. So, like I said, I don't have no expectation of a set date or when I'll be full go in this. I'm just going to come into work every single day because that's all I know.
Okay, so he's saying all the right things. Dan, Chris, back with us. But, Canty, let me ask you this. This is the question that was kind of rolling around in my mind this morning. Answer this for me. As Saquon goes, so go the Giants. How does that play for you?
No, I think that's accurate because Saquon Barkley is a really special talent. I mean, that's why Dave Gettleman decided to take him with the 2nd overall pick back in 2018 in a quarterback-rich draft, knowing that he was going to have to move off of Eli Manning sooner rather than later. But, I mean, Saquon Barkley is probably the most important acquisition for that Giants offense this offseason. And that's saying a lot, seeing as how Dave Gettleman went out and got Kenny Golladay, gave him a bag of money. He drafted Kadarius Toney in the 1st round, and he signed Kyle Rudolph. But, I mean, Saquon Barkley is a very dynamic player. He's a threat to score a home run from anywhere on the field, both in the run game and the passing game. And people have to keep in mind that Big Blue's offense was an Adam Gase-led offense away from being the worst offense in all of football. So they need that explosive element, and it's a short list of players that are more explosive than Saquon Barkley in the entire NFL. So Saquon Barkley, I think that He's important to the Giants' success this year. He's important to their quarterback, Daniel Jones. As he goes, I think we'll see this Giants offense go.
How do the Giants feel internally about their offense, from what you know?
Better than they have in past couple of years. I think, Saquon's super important. They're going to be careful with him and his rehab. They're not going to rush him back for training camp. But, I talked to somebody there the other day who said when Daniel Jones looks around that huddle this year, he's seeing more options than he used to, right? Like, you're seeing Kenny Golladay. You're seeing, he hasn't been in yet, but Kyle Rudolph, will be there. Kadarius Toney, the first-round pick. John Ross, the former first-round pick from the Bengals that they signed. I mean, they feel like they have a lot of talent there that he can go to. I think they would agree with Chris that Saquon Barkley's the most important and most explosive offensive player they have, but I think there are ways that they can go that don't make it entirely about him as it might have been, say, a year ago.
Yeah, and you look at the money they've doled out to offensive weapons, this should be an offense that ends up being top 10, and if not, they could face some problems there in the NFC East. So let's turn now to baseball, guys. We'll come back more to this in a bit. I want to go to this, the Yankees and the Twins. This is a big one. Garrett Cole, Josh Donaldson, they've been bickering a little bit. Aaron Judge right here, top first, crushes it for his 15th homer of the season. Yankees up 1-0. Now, I was telling you about Cole and Donaldson. They faced off in this one. Donaldson calling out Cole for using foreign substances, and Cole did that on the knuckle curve. And a little stare down as Donaldson walks back to the dugout. Next at bat for Donaldson, check out the telestrator right there. 100 miles an hour. That pitch he just fouled off. Count now 2-2. Cole struck him out. Cole, 6 innings, 9 K's, 2 earned runs. Top of the fifth, Yankees up 5-1. Giancarlo Stanton walking up to the plate, already had a homer, and that makes it 2. 11 homers on the season. The Yankees hold on to win 9-6. Now, Garrett Cole, boy, did he have some numbers. He clocked in at record numbers against the Twins. He pitched a career-high 98.2-mile-an-hour average with his four-seam fastball. 4 of his 6 fastest pitches of the season came on the mound on Wednesday, and he spoke after the game.
Garrett, did you use anything differently or any different products than you normally would have because of what's going on tonight or from previous starts?
I hesitated yesterday on the specificity of the question because I just don't think this is the forum to discuss, those kinds of things. There's appropriate time for players to discuss those things, and I'll keep it to that forum.
Okay, so now people are going to ask, what is that appropriate time? I want to bring in Jeff Passan now to talk more about this. And Jeff, I kind of want to set this up for people, and I wonder, for those who don't follow this situation as closely, how much attention should fans be paying to this issue of foreign substances in baseball?
I think they should be paying a lot of attention because the product, Ryan, that you see out on the field right now directly correlates to the use of foreign substances by pitchers. There's a reason that hitters across the league are hitting 237 right now. And yeah, it's in part because pitchers have gotten better, because the technology's there for them to literally go into a lab and design a pitch that is intended to strike guys out. But there's also an additional element, and that is foreign substances. That's making fastballs spin faster, which is keeping them higher in the zone, which is making breaking balls spin more, which is making them break harder. Like, this is not something that is just a non-story that the media is blowing up. This is what people across baseball have been talking about all year and how bad it's gotten. And if the people inside of the game, Ryan, are talking about it, then we should be talking about it here. And Garrett Cole should be talking about it as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I know some pitchers are making the point of, hey, we've been altering the ball, scuffing it up, doctoring it a little bit for years, in part to not have it fly all over the place. But this is a little bit different. So now Major League Baseball wants to take it on. They intend to specifically enforce rules that they've seemingly been ignoring for decades. How will that actually work on the field? What are they considering to actually do to enforce those rules?
It's going to be awfully interesting to see the rollout of this. And I was talking with the general manager last night who was saying essentially, MLB can't screw this up because the scrutiny is going to be so heavy on the league to get this right when they're rolling it out mid-season. You know, at the beginning of the year, Ryan, MLB said essentially, you know, this year's just going to be survey testing, kind of like back in 2003 with steroids. We're going to look at things, we're going to see how bad the problem is. Well, people at the league right now say the problem's worse than they recognize, and that's why they're doing this in the middle of the season. So they're going to have umpires going out and checking players between innings. And it's not just going to be the pitchers, Ryan. They're going to be looking at infielders and catchers also to see if they have any foreign substances on their person.
I'm just trying to imagine how that's actually going to work in the context of a game.
It's going to be, it's going to be really, really awkward and weird, especially if you're a fan at the ballpark, and especially if a guy is, say, hiding things like inside his waistband.
How do you even do that? I don't even know. Okay, well, we'll see how this plays out, right? Jeff Passan, thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it. Well, folks, don't miss the deciding game 3 in the College Softball World Series this afternoon between Florida State and Oklahoma. Winner takes all. First pitch just after 3 Eastern on ESPN and streaming live on the app. Well, coming up on the show, is Jordan Love ready to take over if Aaron Rodgers isn't with the Packers next season? He answers that question, and so do our analysts coming up.